That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you day does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it will even up the score. Don't be weak, don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel's
gonna roll around once more. When it does, when it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, that will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
And welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you live this 21st day of June, 2014. And so, yep, you can bet your boots. We're back. Been gone a little bit. But hey, we're back now. We say good morning to you. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
John, I'll give you your CD back.
Oh, he hasn't been busy
from playing that this morning. No, just kidding. But we do welcome all, and welcome the remnant here. And
you have to change that song to "The Men Are Back in Town."
Yeah, there you go. There you go. We'll have to get a rewrite going. Anyway, we are back, and the phone lines are open. And this is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, and we're glad to be here. We're glad you're joining us, and we'll open up with a word of prayer. Kyle, you want to open us up,
and then
we'll go from there.
Oh, God, my Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to gather in your name. Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to come down upon us, protect us, watch over us, guide and direct us in our ways, our thoughts, our words, everything about us, Lord, and be with our families. Watch over them, guide and protect them. Protect, put a shield of protection all around them, Lord. Let the evil one and the evil ones not come close to our tents. Lord, we ask for you to be with the remnant out there, to watch over them and guide, protect them, and keep them under your wings, so to speak, Lord. Again, we thank you for this opportunity to come in the name of Jesus Christ and fellowship, commune, so to speak, Lord, and just have a good start to a good day. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. And amen. And we'll have the phone lines open up this morning, 307 745-5913. Got the button pushed, and it's ready to go. And we're starting to get kind of, oh, I don't know if I want to say back to normal, but back into, I guess, somewhat of a normal routine after our Branson gathering. At a blessed time there. It's always a deal to plan and schedule and pack and get that set up. And then, of course, it's this year was, I think, a really good gathering. Everybody we talked to seemed to really enjoy it. And I think everybody got home safe, and that's a good thing. And hopefully had their batteries recharged. And it just takes a while here to get everything unpacked and kind of get back into the schedule of things. But hopefully we're back in. Summer's upon us. Just had the 91st day this past week. The changes from spring to summer. So, as always, lots going on. And but we're glad to be here this morning.
The emails that we received about people's experiences in Branson, and that's what makes it all worthwhile.
Amen. It's one of the things that we've always heard over the years is the lack of fellowship that's available to the remnant. And I remember the pastor teaching on it that, hey, we're scattered and one here and two there because that's how God wants it to be right now. Whether it's for our protection, from the evil one or from each other, either way. But it sure seems that that's how God has it. And but these times of, you know, even if it's just once or twice a year that we can get together and fellowship and praise and sing praises to God Almighty and to pray over the sick and to baptize, they are encouraging and battery recharging times, I think, to all of us. Speaking of baptisms, how many of those do we have?
We had nine, and you know, they're all great. I mean, every one of them is. I mean, what an experience! There's something to witnessing baptisms. You know, I mean, it for one, it reminds you of yours.
Yes.
And for another, you know, I mean, like when you watch maybe a 3 or 4 year old girl watch her mom going down in the water, there's something special there. Mm-hmm. Because she might not know what's going on. She might think, man, I want to go swimming with my mom or whatever she's thinking. But there's a good chance she'll remember that moment for the rest of her life. Mm-hmm. You know, hopefully she will. And it's just, there's just certain special things, you know. Maybe to see some guy that maybe you can tell has lived a rough life come to the humility of repenting of his sins and, you know, getting dunked in the water and raising up a new man.
Yes.
Now, he might have some markings of his old man on his body, but that's where the blood of Jesus Christ comes in. Mm-hmm. Not that you're not going to reap some things that you've sown in your life. That's just the way, that's just God's law.
Well, and that applies to each and
every one of us. Right. I'm still reaping today things that I did when I was 20.
Amen.
Because I was ignorant. You know, and sometimes on purpose. You know. But anyway, there's nothing like seeing an old man go into the water and come up a new babe.
And we had a couple of those.
Yes, we did. You know,
we did.
And a husband and wife together get baptized. The husband goes in and gets baptized, and then he stays in the water with the baptizer and helps baptize. Those are awesome things to see.
Yes.
And what makes them so awesome, to me anyway, is that's the biblical plan of salvation. That's it.
Yeah, or to see a young man with so much humility that he's got tears in his eyes and just repenting of his old life and his heathen ways and wanting to, you know, to die to that old life and be born again. That's what gets me.
Yeah. Amen.
Because I lived it.
Yeah, I remember years ago when Peter brought you guys out to the Dalles, Oregon, had a conference out there. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'd only went to a few conferences then. But anyway, I went, and I don't know, but it was Friday night. He put the call out that, hey, we're going to have baptisms tomorrow, and people signed up or came to him or whatever. But there was only four or five, you know, and a little tiny area to do it in. And he put it out for like 7 a.m. Saturday morning or Sunday morning. I don't remember the days, but it doesn't really matter. And so at 7 a.m., you know, I show up, and he looks at me and he goes, what are you doing here? And he said it just like that. What are you doing here? And I'm like, well, I want to watch, you know. And he goes, great. You know, I mean, and his countenance changed. But at first he was like, he knew I was baptized, so he's just like thinking, what are you doing here? And because every time I witness those things, I get rejuvenated. You know, I get the feeling that, you know, yes, you know, I need to claim that more often, you know, because I mean it's something that you can just kind of forget, you know, if it's not happening all the time, you know. But anyway, yeah. It was kind of just a thing that popped into my mind.
No, it's a good thing.
Part of the reason I think why the grace only people push that, because they think once saved, always saved, and they can do anything they want once they've been saved, you know, even in the false belief of asking Jesus Christ into your heart, and then they think that's all there is. They can go on sinning, they can do whatever they want, because they've already been saved.
Yeah.
There's no works, don't have to follow the commandments, don't have to follow God's law.
And without the repentance, they're just, you know, there is no saving. There is none. Well, the phone line's ringing this morning, let's try that a little early. Good morning. Thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
You know, I came across a really, really interesting writing by Clement. You remember Clement?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Anyway, this thing is so interesting. He's talking about what had happened in the very beginning, that mankind had become very, very evil, very wicked, and the angels that were put over mankind to watch over mankind started complaining about, you know, this wickedness. He says that they became indignant, and they had, with all the wickedness that they saw going on with mankind, so they had asked God if they could be transformed into human form, so that by coming down in human form, they're being righteous. They could live, and by living righteous lives in the form of mankind, that they would set such an example for mankind that it would lead them all back to living more rightfully. But see, they made this is where they made the grievous error. Because when we hear in the Bible about the transgression that they did with human women, this is where it happened. Because you see, you know, I always wondered about, well, how did that event happen? Well, here we're told about this. Once they were transformed into humankind, into human form, they were also subject to all of the temptations that all other mankind were. And this is where they succumbed to having relations with human women and bore children with them. But you see, once, the second that they did this, because God ordered them not to do this, the second they did this, they came under the condemnation of the sin. They couldn't go back to the state that they had come from.
Mm-hmm.
They were now...
Then they served Lucifer, didn't they, then after that?
Well, you know, I got a feeling that he's probably the person that probably coerced them into this whole thing. Because, you know, you got to wonder that they were this stupid to not think about the consequences of living as a, you know, in a human form, that what was going to happen. Well, here's the thing. They bore these children, and we're told they were giants. Not just intellectual, but this first round of these things, they were giant. And they were so big, Clement has said that, you know, they were, the Earth's atmosphere was not made, you know, and everything here was not made for something that large. Not only were they consuming huge amounts of food, they started getting a taste for eating humans. And it was at this point, you know, in this crossbreed. reading just kept going back and forth. And, of course, many different versions of this. And they were sodomizing everything, including animals. This is where the bestiality, you know, first came in. Well, this is then is where God said, well, now we got to have the flood to straighten us out. The flood killed all of mankind, and these descendants of these fallen angels, except, of course, for the eight in the ark. But the thing was, is when those children of the angel, you know, this crossbred thing that was half human, half angel, the body died in the flood, but there was a spirit that emitted out from that. And this is where you get your evil spirits.
Yeah, the book of Enoch talks about in depth about that whole scenario as well.
You know, the evil spirits survived that flood, but here's the thing: so did the fallen angels. I don't know what state or where they were. They, you know, the children died, but the fallen angels were still around, and we're told in this writing that these angels were, you know, and these evil spirits were really ticked off at mankind because they weren't accepting their own part in this. They were putting the whole thing on human women, that the human women tempted them into this. And they have, so these evil spirits that have come out from these killed bodies have a horrible animosity towards human. There's nothing that they want more than to see your destruction because they feel the humans are responsible for their fall. You can see the logic in all of this. Even though they're wrong, they won't accept their own their own culpability in all of this. But yet, you can see the hatred. Why that's there,
yeah.
You know, and why they hate you so bad, and why they can think of nothing but every form of harm to you that they can come up with. Now,
yeah.
Well,
yeah,
here's the thing.
Evil
right, and that's part of it. I think. Go ahead, John. You had a comment on that.
Evil companions corrupt good morals, and in a smaller scale, it's happening in a lot in the school systems. I'm not saying they're all bad, but you know, the majority of them are. And some people think that they can take their children that they've raised up properly to be Christian, God-fearing children and put them into these heathen institutions and that they're going to change those people. And that's not what happens. What happens is evil companions corrupt good morals.
Yeah, and I think what you're talking about highlights just that, you know, there's a battle between light and darkness. There's a battle between good and evil.
But here's the thing. You know, you see this horrible corruption that happened here and the creation of these evil spirits, how this happened. You know, you always wonder, you know, God, you know, Jesus was always talking about, you know, booting an evil spirit or an unclean spirit out of this person or that person. I always wondered, well, where did those come from? Well, here's the explanation where it came from. But here's the beauty with this, because look at what God did. He sends his son down, and he puts, you know, see, the angels had carnal sex with the human women. But look at what God did. He implanted seed into a human woman to counteract all this other stuff that was being done. He put seed into a human woman through the Holy Ghost. Jesus was born. He lived his whole life tempted, fully tempted against all the stuff that not only mankind is tempted by, but he's tempted against those very evil spirits that were created from this unholy union. He was tempted against, you know, I mean, they did everything they could. And you even remember after 40 days in the desert, how Satan himself was trying to do this. But he didn't fall to any of their temptation. He managed to make it through without falling to their temptations that they were putting against him. So when he died, what happened? When he died on the cross, what came out of him? We're told after his death that God was sending, Jesus even told him, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. He was talking about the, you know, the apostles. And what happened after God sends you the Holy Spirit as the perfect medicine, the perfect counter for the evil spirit. It is only through you being baptized and getting the Holy Spirit that you have the Holy Spirit in you that is able to see and understand what those evil spirits are doing, so that it's able to help you maintain against that, where you could never do that on your own.
That's a good point. Hey, we appreciate you calling and sharing that with everybody.
It explains so much about the whole order of the whole thing.
Well, that's a spiritual warfare, too.
It is.
Oh, yeah, there is. Certainly so. Because they really exist. I mean, it tells you all through the New Testament, Jesus booting these evil spirits out, demonic spirits, unclean spirits. You know, for anybody to think, well, that doesn't really exist, well, it would make Jesus a liar. He was doing it all the time.
Absolutely.
Send them into the, you know, remember the demoniac that at that grave site after they went across the sea in the boats, and they got out, and the guy was in chains, and he was breaking the chains, and Jesus came and talked to him, and he said, "My name is Legion," since there was so many evil spirits in this guy, and that's where then Jesus booted them out and put them into those pigs, and the pigs ran over the cliff into the water and drowned.
Right.
You know, this was real stuff. This isn't just, you know, oh, well, it's some figurative thing.
Absolutely.
These things exist. They're real.
And I think people, but today, we don't realize how much of the problems and how many times we come into contact with people that are demon-possessed, demoniac, whatever you want to call them. I mean, and it doesn't matter where you look. It just, there's, results of demonic activity. And, I think that, that's one of the things that when we encounter situations today, we need to ask ourselves a lot of times, is this person demon-possessed? You look at a lot of these people's eyes, and they just got this glazed over. You look in their eyes, and it's like their soul's gone, and it's like there's almost a different entity, and you can almost just see it just looking in their eyes. I've seen a lot of people that have made a lot of changes these antidepressant drugs. I've seen people that's completely normal, and their doctor prescribes them, and you need to be on this antidepressant drug or this antipsychotic or this anti-bipolarism drug, and that's one of the things that they're really pushing is the anti-polar psychotic drugs. And is what's interesting is, you know, the people that are getting on these anti-bipolar drugs is, I think it's actually causing the bipolarism, but it's caused by demon possession, because there's people that are killing themselves left and right, that are killing other people left and right, and it's a result of being on a lot of these pharmaceuticals.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it's one of those things that there's so many things that, so many ways that people can become demon-possessed, and I think it's wise that people, you know, start questioning it. You know, is this person demon-possessed, or, you know, what am I dealing with here?
Yeah, amen. Hey, caller, thanks for bringing that subject up. We sure appreciate that this morning.
Well, you know, this thing about the antidepressants, did you ever see, I think they said there's like now 40% of the women in America are on antidepressants. That's a terrible high percentage.
Absolutely.
I saw this thing, you know, this is to change the subject on the other thing, but but with the antidepressants, you know, you guys are aware of what had happened, you know, 3 years ago when my mom had fallen and broke her back originally the first time. And she was requiring home health. You know, she recovered pretty good. You know, we prayed over that. She recovered from that original thing fairly decent, but she was highly immobilized. And during that time period, they had the home health care coming out with the nurses. And, you know, I was always made certain that I was here when the nurses would come. And I was present to see what was going on. You know, every one of them was pushing the antidepressants. And I could see that they were trained somewhere in a specific pattern of how to get the person to accept it. They would walk in and they'd sit down and they'd say, how do you feel today? Okay. Well, anything bothering you? Oh, yeah, this is bothering me. And then they'd say, well, are you depressed about that?
Yeah, we have a pill for that.
And they'd say, well, we got something that can make you feel much better so that you won't worry about that anymore. So, you know, and I saw one after another after every time they came, they just worked and worked and worked at trying to get that. And, you know, my mom was in pain, but she wasn't depressed. There was no reason for even thinking that somebody should need that. But you could just see the whole line of thinking, the way they would go from you know, bing, 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 to try to deceive you into just saying one wrong thing. And it finally got where I was talking with some of these nurses, and they say, well, the medical industry now, or the medical profession has now decided that anybody that goes into a hospital needs an antidepressant, because if you go into a hospital, you going in there is going to depress you. So if you've gone into a hospital and you're in there, you need an antidepressant. So in other words, you know, if you went in there and you broke your thumb, you know, they'd sit there with that, well, you can't perform your normal tasks, your normal daily tasks now because your hand is broke, your thumb is broke, you're depressed over this, we must give you something. You see, that's their line of thinking.
It is. It's their way of the world of pharmakia, of witchcraft, of getting you tied in any which way you can. So it really is. Hey, caller, thanks a lot. We're gonna.
Is that half of those nurses were on it too?
Oh yeah. Well, they are.
They couldn't figure out why everyone else wouldn't want to be.
That's right.
All right. I'll let you guys go.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Have a nice day. Bye.
You know, our caller mentioned, and we carry a book, A Dictionary of Early Christian Beliefs, that has quotes from Clement and Tertullian, and a bunch of other people that I can't pronounce their name. Origen and others that talk about angels, fallen angels,
and not all of it line up with the Word of God.
No, it doesn't. But
maybe not that it's not true, but for some reason it doesn't line up with the Word of God.
Right.
And you got to consider that,
right?
Because when you mix truths with think so's or somebody else's think so's, you might get off course. And I'm not saying you are off course.
Right.
I'm just saying you might be. So you got to really consider when you start putting stuff out as this is the gospel truth or this is the way it is, without saying this is what I think or this maybe it is.
You got to ring the cowbell.
You do got to ring that cowbell. You know?
I didn't bring one in here.
Otherwise, and John, I think you brought a couple months ago, and we got some good comments about it when you brought adding and subtracting from the Word of God, and it's something we need to remember. Like I said, I'm not saying anybody added or subtracted. I'm just saying you've got to be careful.
Right, right. Always, always. And the book is, A Dictionary of Early Christian Beliefs. It's writings from man. It's not what's in the Bible, but it's from some of the early church fathers. And I just wanted to, maybe we'll move on to a different subject after this, but Tertullian, in about 212, writes, "Do you fear man, O Christian? You who ought to be feared by the angels, since you are to judge angels." So we have to make sure we keep things in perspective. "You who ought to be feared by evil spirits, since you have received power also over evil spirits." And then a few years before that, one last quote from him, and that's Tertullian, says, And he's talking about fallen angels, and I think that's what the caller was talking about. These are the angels whom we are destined to judge. These are the angels whom we renounce in baptism. And again, it is. It's outside of the Bible, but it's some of the thoughts that
and a lot of times when you're reading those, it brings up a scripture to you that you didn't look at it in a certain light before, and you flip over there, and all of a sudden, well, why didn't I see that before?
Yeah. Don't we have all power and authority over, you know, over demonic forces? You know, the caller
talked
about.
We have to use all the resources God gave us, too, you know.
Right.
The Septuagint is very helpful in unlocking some of this stuff, and the Book of Jasher is helpful. And
well, I think the most accurate book on that subject line is the Book of Enoch and the Book of Jubal. Both of those, Book of Enoch is mentioned several times in the Bible. And Enoch is right along the bit lines of, you know, the fallen angels, you know, where they came from, how they came to be, what, and that, you know, that's what it was written about, that timeline, and, you know, I think it's very historically accurate. So and I think that's probably the most historically accurate book that we have available today. So I would take the word out of that before I would, you know, take a lot of these other sources. But
but even with that,
if anybody else has information,
Jason, you got to be cautious, you know, because for some reason, you know. And, you know, Peter
always contradicts the Bible. Then
Pastor Peter's always said he was going to bring, you know, and he always touched on the Book of Enoch, but he always said he was going to really hit it hard someday. Well, for some reason, that day never came. You know, I mean, so you know, and it just makes you wonder. You know?
Yeah. I'm actually working on an article about the Nephilim. Talk about going out on the deep.
Oh yeah,
on a limb.
It is an interesting subject. I mean, without a doubt.
Yeah, you know? Tom in Texas knows quite a bit about that. He actually responded to something I brought on a Sunday. I was going to get a hold of him and maybe pick his brain a little bit too. But he's done a lot of research on it.
He's got a big brain.
You know, the Acres of Diamond Men they do a good job sometimes of keeping us on the straight and narrow too. Where you know, we may be off on a tangent, thinking that we have some great truth and. And then they point out something that's biblical, and it contradicts, you know, what those thoughts are. So you just, like Kyle said, you know, you have to test those spirits. Yep. Be very careful that it is the Spirit, Holy Spirit, that's working and not a different spirit.
Amen. Amen. And that holds true for each and every one of us. It does.
Yep.
Well, 307-745-5913. If you want to call in, and
it's only one perfect book. That's what we got to remember.
That's right. That's right.
Anything that contradicts it, God's explicit about it. Yep. Don't believe it.
Yeah, Jason, you and Brother Tim were bringing some interesting statistics out last night on the absolute invasion that we are experiencing right now. That it's really stepped up, and that's the just the. Maybe if you, I don't know if you remember the statistics and numbers, but the hordes that are just coming across the southern border, they're really pushing the children over now. Is that what I heard? I was hearing bits and pieces.
Yeah, I mean it's interesting because you know, just over the last 4 months is when we really start the programs that ICE basically shuttles illegal aliens all over the country that are coming across the border. You know, we've heard numbers from over 500,000, 6 million have come across the border in the last 4 months. You know, and don't know exactly, I mean, where they're at. We know that you know, Arizona has in the proximity of 1,500 a day coming over. Texas has 2,000 a day. They're just coming over just in leaps and bounds. And the interesting thing is, I had a news story this morning that said that they busted three Ukraine men. They were arrested in Brewster County for crossing the border down there. Now, that just kind of caught me off guard. Last night, one of the things that me and Tom from Texas were talking about was that, you know, he's down there in Texas, and he's these lawsuits Mexicans, and you know these Mexicans, some of the Muslims, you can't tell the difference of them from even looking at them. And I've had the same experience lately, where you know I thought I was looking at a Mexican, and it was actually a Muslim. And you know he brought up a real good point that he's like, you know, just because they're coming in from Mexico doesn't mean they're Mexican, and he said they very well could be. You know, something else that they're trucking all over different parts of this country. And that's an interesting thought.
Stay tuned tomorrow. Talking about the Four Horsemen.
Well, we got another caller. Let's take that. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, gentlemen. This is Willis over in Southern Illinois.
Hey, good morning, Willis.
Hey, Willis, how are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, sounds like you're getting over your cold there, Richard.
Yeah, trying to.
Good deal. Hey, you know, I wasn't going to, but then I thought, yeah, I'm going to anyway. I'm going to make a quick comment about that previous caller. And, you know, I was listening to that Noah's Flood package that you guys had there at Branson. Uh-huh. And Pastor Peters brought up in that message that it wasn't actually fallen angels that cohabited with women, and that was actually all about race mixing. I don't know if you guys remember that or not.
Yeah, well,
and another thing I was thinking is, you know, so many people use that passage as a proof text for this a satanic seed line doctrine.
That's true, Willis, but as the years went on, he did elaborate more, and he did talk about angels and the Nephilim, and I mean, so it wasn't like that's the only thing he taught about Noah's flood, which it was. It was a big part of it, you know. But but Pastor Peters did think that he came into some other knowledge about the angels coming down. We can all remember that, right, guys?
He talks about a third of the angels fell from heaven, doesn't
yeah.
it? Somewhere.
Right, but none of that is so specific in the Word of God that you can actually put it out as the gospel truth type thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
But he did. He started adding stuff, and that's what Jason was probably getting ready to say a while ago. Is as he grew in the grace and knowledge, things developed in his mind, and he brought some of that out. You know, not that it takes away from what he taught back then. It just there was just more to it. You know what I mean? So just thought I'd throw that out.
Okay. Deeper understanding.
Yeah. Yeah, a little deeper understanding.
Yep, I stand corrected.
Well, I don't really mean to correct you, because that Noah's Flood tape is, I mean, it enlightens you when you listen to that, because he brings some stuff out in there. Same with the creation story. I think that's, you know, number two on,
oh,
you know,
yeah, they're
tape
the first.
102 and tape 103 and 4.
Yeah, the
anyway,
first few.
Those bring out such simple Bible truths that, I mean, that can't be denied.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And well, sure. I mean, people kind of lose track. They get into these bigger things that make I don't know what it does for them, but they kind of exclude the littler things. You know, like the simple truths that's in the Bible that we should always remember.
I would still say that there had to have been a lot of race mixing going on at that point.
Oh, too, absolutely. Yeah.
With the. And one reason why Noah's line was the only pure line left, basically.
Right.
He was perfect in his generations.
Yep.
Yep. Absolutely.
And we all know he wasn't a perfect man, you know, because
nope.
he was in the flesh. He was in the flesh.
Yeah.
There's only been one so far.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And he was resurrected.
Amen.
Amen.
We got this weekend. I'm enjoying the show.
Thank you, Willis.
Thanks for
calling.
Good day.
And you.
And I kind of just thought that's probably where you were headed, Jason, wasn't it?
That's where I was headed.
But, you know, I suggest, and I think I talked to somebody this year at Branson, you know, that they should get the creation story and then Noah's Flood, part one and part two, especially part one. I mean, but they will enlighten you. And they're, man, when you're at the grocery store or you meet somebody at the coffee shop, those are subjects you can bring up. Hey, what do you think about a worldwide flood? Or what do you think about, you know, two creations? Those aren't such subjects that all of a sudden they're going to hate you, you know, because you want to talk about stuff like that. And it's good to have that ammunition.
No.
I don't know if you guys saw, there's a Christian professor in Biola University, which is, I guess, a Christian university in California, which kind of seems like an oxymoron, but anyways, was saying that he's seen students coming into his classroom in the recent years with less knowledge about the Bible, detailing some troubled examples of student confusion in a recent magazine article entitled "The Crisis of Biblical Literacy," and he said the crisis is profound. I've heard people call it a famine. When we talked about this, there'd be a famine of knowledge. Sometimes when the Bible talks about famine, it may not be physical food. It could be spiritual food. And then during the famine, people waste away for lack of sustenance. Some people die. Those who remain need nourishment. They need to be revived. And he continued on to say that and if they have hope of remaining alive over time, their life situation has to change in conspicuous ways. And what's interesting was he said, all the research indicates that biblical literacy in America is at an all-time low. My own experience teaching a class of new college freshmen every year for the past 15 years suggests to me that although students 15 years ago knew little about the Bible upon entering my classes, today's students on average know even less. So I just, it was kind of neat to see someone actually realizing that part of what the Antichrist have done is remove the Bible. And then again, when you talk about the faith only, why do they have to read the Bible? They've already been saved, and no matter what they do, there's, you know, once saved, always saved.
You know, again, Hosea 4:6, I think we read it Wednesday night, but it just seems to come up more and more.
Lack of knowledge.
They do. They do, and I think that exemplifies that very thing. And what comes right after that? You forget my law, and guess what? I'll forget your children.
Yeah, and sometimes I think, to go along with what you guys were talking about earlier, and Jason was talking about with the drugs and stuff, sometimes we generalize that. If you forget my law, I'll forget your children. What if it's just you forget my law on sorcery and witchcraft and magic?
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden, I'll forget your children when it comes to immunization shots, and when it comes to this drug and that, you know, and because you wonder why does certain people tend to fall into traps of this sort, and other people falls into traps of that sort. Well, maybe it's because in their past, their fathers forgot this part of the law. You know, I mean. Because we kind of generalize it as one big thing. Well, maybe it's not one big thing. You know what I mean? And maybe that's why you have some different denominational teachings, because actually their fathers forgot this part of the law. And in their, you know, I mean, it's just something to think about. But I've been really thinking a lot lately about why do certain people fall into certain traps and other people don't fall into those traps, and yet over here they'll fall into a completely different trap. Or like you said to me the other day, Richard, you're like, sometimes we can't see the snakes that are around us, you know, because we're not open. For some reason, we're not open to seeing that, you know. And why is that? Well, it could be because our fathers forgot a certain law to teach us, you know.
It might have been. I know Pastor taught that, you know, that, you know, you can always see or if you can see the snakes,
and some of
you
it
can
is
see
just,
them.
Yeah.
You just can't see the one.
Someone's just
right
deceiving your own heart. You know what I mean?
Sometimes
it's just
that
simple.
Well, let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Wranglers. Sounds like you guys are into the meat this morning as well as the coffee.
Well, good morning, Russell. Let me pour you a cup here. We got some fresh coffee on, and you probably need some down there in Texas.
Well,
I could use another one too.
I got two observations or questions, I guess. What is it? Can anybody?
I'm sorry. Say that again, Russell. I think I missed it.
What is a demon?
What is a demon?
We're talking about demon-possessed people, and I couldn't help but think of President Obama. he has no Christ consciousness. He has no conscience at all for Christian righteousness. He has no problem with homosexuality. He has no problem with theft. Is it possible he could be demon-driven? That's just an observation.
I think it's completely possible.
Sons of the devil is what I would say.
Well, and he meets that requirement. He's no friend of the Christian community.
No.
No, absolutely not.
The other observation, I'm down here right in the middle of the invasion. Brewster County's not far south of where I live. And everybody wants to make us all one big happy soccer-playing family. But the reality is these people are different than we are. And one thing I've noticed is it's kind of peculiar. We have sewer systems in this country, and most of them work. They're making it very difficult for you to put in your own with a septic system. But these people that come from a different land, they don't believe in wiping and throwing their wipings in the toilet. Were you aware of that?
Yes,
no. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yes.
So they throw it in the floor or they throw it in the trash. And it's disgusting. And I've been around the world, and I know other people are different. And they don't have a problem at all with having that stinky, nasty mess sitting right beside them. And that's just an observation I made.
It is an observation. I remember being on construction sites, and I'd have to drive somewhere if I had to go to the bathroom, because I wasn't going to use the ones there because of that very purpose, you know.
And do you remember what God said? He said, if you can't get that crap out of the camp, I'm not coming to visit you.
It's true.
Now, that's biblical.
Well, and I think that, a lot of them is, I think it's, if you go down south of the border, the difference is they don't do that when they're down south of the border. They don't do that in a lot of parts of Mexico. I think is what it is when they come up here, it's a form of rebellion, and is what they're saying. They're saying, I'm dumping on you.
I hadn't thought of it like that, but maybe so. But
I mean, if that's part of their culture, and they're bringing part of their culture, they would be... Right.
You know, at a minimum. And that's a minimum. But they're coming over, and you people up north and in Montana and Colorado think, well, you know, and we just came back from Missouri. They're headed your way.
Yes.
It's
all
just a matter of time.
Right, right. Well, Jason,
and
what
you'll
numbers?
Have a Mexican food restaurant on every corner.
Yeah.
The invasion.
It is an absolute invasion. I know the numbers that they were putting out.
Last time I
checked,
illegal meant criminal. You can't go
perform
an illegal act, and they'll call you a criminal.
Yeah.
But these people, they have renamed freedom fighters for liberty. And this thing about soccer, I mean, they just got to cram it down our throat. Have you noticed? The new media push out. Is if you don't understand soccer, you're an idiot. I understand soccer, just like I do tennis. So what? Go play if you feel compelled to go play. Don't cram it down my throat. And that's all I got to say. Thank you very much for the time. Bye.
What's that bug?
Thank you, Russell.
What's that bug down south that eats? I forget. There's
the boll weevil?
Yeah, the boll weevil. You listen to that song by Tex Ritter, the boll weevil. And you have that in mind, and it is, I think that guy was given some prophecy when he wrote that song.
Well, I don't have the CD right here, so let's play it on Tuesday night. You'll have to bring it up.
I've played it several times, but I'll play it again.
Bring that up Tuesday night. So
the Boll Weevil song.
Yeah. Well,
and it goes along with the Locust of Joel.
It does.
And that's
it
what,
does.
You know.
You know, if you want to know why, if you listened to Jason's program last night, if you want to know why all the untold number of hordes are coming across the southern border, and yeah, like Jason said, they're not just Mexican, you know. They're from, if you can read Psalm 83, where it says Behold, your enemies make an uproar, and those who hate you have exalted themselves. They make shrewd plans against your people and conspire together against your treasured ones. They have said, come and let us wipe them out as a nation. They have conspired together with one mind. Against you they make a covenant, and then just read the rest of the people. It's not just the Mexicans. It's all the others that have come through there. And Deuteronomy 28 tells, 28:33, a people whom you do not know shall eat up the produce of your ground and all your labors. And
that's why there's different locusts. There's the gnawing locusts. And the, you know, I mean, there's several.
Yeah. Yeah, I got news for you. That caliphate that's happening in the Middle East, it ain't just happening in the Middle East.
No.
It's happening right here in the U.S.
Yeah.
And what it is Islam, Islamic rule. And I was reading some readings from 20 years ago from Islamic imams saying that we'll build our mosques in your country, in all your cities, and you won't be able to do anything about it because your laws will protect us. And that's exactly what they've done.
Right.
They've created laws that, through political correctness and through acceptance and tolerance, that
and
even if we had eyes to see and ears to hear and opposed it, we couldn't, because they passed the laws to protect them to build their mosques.
Well, we were told by a communist the very same thing. We'll take you over.
Yep.
We'll make you communist without firing a shot.
Without firing a shot.
And they have done that. And so now we're seeing the exact same thing with what you're talking about, John. Deuteronomy 28:49 says, the Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as the eagle swoops down, a nation whose language you shall not understand, a nation of fierce countenance who will have no respect for the old, nor show favor to the young. Moreover, it shall eat the offspring of your herd and the produce of your ground until you are destroyed. And we see that. We are living in these days. Just as they were living in the days of the Assyrian and the Babylonian captivities, when you know, that didn't, those things didn't happen overnight. They took sometimes generations to happen. Because, you know, God, sometimes he does work instantly. But many times, you know, his timing is more seasonal. It you know, he stretches things out. Not that he's slow, he's patient, wanting people to repent, wanting people to say, don't you see what I'm doing? Do you see? And it says in 45, these curses shall come upon you and pursue you. No, it says in 47, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things. And we certainly don't see that today. Joy, glad heart, thankfulness. Do you ever see those things among his people? No, you see,
not enough.
You see scowls, and you see starving people that weigh 400 pounds, and you see, you know, desolation, and sadness, and curses, and disease, and sickness.
Hopefully tomorrow I'm going to tie a lot of this stuff in with the four horsemen, Revelation 6. Because I believe we're witnessing it right now.
Yeah, I believe we
are. The opening heading of that chapter is the book open, the first seal, the false Christ. That's all I'm going to tell you.
So stay tuned and join us tomorrow.
Amen.
Yep. And pray for me because I'm working on it right now.
Well, we certainly need to do that. Well, guys, we're about out of time. A couple more minutes here, and we're going to have to wrap up this Saturday morning coffee with the Wranglers. I think I finished my coffee here. Kyle, you probably got through yours as well.
Yeah, I did. And, but just a few minutes ago. So
that's, that's a good thing. You know, Remnant, you may
invite people to church.
Yeah. Make sure you do. We do invite you to church tomorrow. If you're going to drive down, give us a call and let us know that you're coming. But if you want to just join us on the internet, you can. You can come to scriptures4america.org and join us at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. And we'll have, I believe, a scriptural insight and study. And at 10 o'clock and about 10:30, you'll get to see and meet the Ramrod there, John, and he'll have a good welcome. And he was kind of giving you a teaser of some things he's going to be talking about in the morning. And we'll have some music, And hopefully I'll have my voice enough for communion tomorrow. It'll hang around.
So, you know.
Good enough, huh? So we'll plan on, I think, communion's on me tomorrow, so we'll have that. And then a Holy Spirit-inspired message from our pastor. And so we do encourage you to join us there. And, plan
on... If you missed last week and you want that DVD, just call or...
Yes.
Call the office or email us and we'll send it to you.
We did have some issues last week with the stream, and so we apologize for that. But we did make that offer, and we'll be glad to send you a complete two-hour DVD of the program. And we send hundreds of those out every Monday. We mail hundreds of those out across the country and across the world so that people can have that time, that DVD, so they can have that time of fellowship and drawing together with the saints and recharging the batteries and partaking of communion. That is a very important part of coming together once a week to do that. Well, Kyle, you got your Bible open. I have a couple of verses that came to mind after
we were talking earlier. It says in 2 Timothy 3:15-17, and that from childhood, of course this is Paul talking to Timothy, but from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And that came to my mind when we were talking about other writings and other things, you know, because God has gave us these writings, and they are adequate to equip us for every good work. We don't need to go, and like John said, we can get a lot of thought-provoking stuff out of other stuff, good stuff that will actually coincide with the Bible. But we don't need to go so far outside that we're going on speculation all the time, because we have these writings, you know. And lucky for Timothy, he had a good mother and grandmother. We read earlier in the in this writings, but. That taught him those things from a youth up. But even if you haven't been taught these things from a youth up, we have them right here in 66
right.
books.
Right.
You know? Anyway.
Right. That's our foundation. Has to be. What we base it all on. So, well, guys, thanks for taking time out this Saturday morning and joining us in Remnant. And we thank you for joining us. And hopefully we'll see you at church tomorrow. Thanks again.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
stay high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
snake hide.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them.
soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out.